Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. On this Friday session, you know we love to interact with contemporary church fads, critique them, think through biblically what ministry should be, what the pastor should be, what gospel preaching should be. This has been a passion here on Abounding Grace, and something that we should all care very much about. This is a ministry that affects the lives of our children, that affects us. And we're not dealing with little things, we're dealing with eternal things. We're dealing with where people go forever. That is the most serious, somber thing that we can deal with. And so the truth, as it is in Jesus, has to be our guiding light. The truth as revealed in the Bible, the gospel, has to drive us. And so we need to think through how the devil has corrupted things, what he's done in the life of the church, so that we would be good Bereans, that we would search the scriptures to see whether the things that are happening and the things that are being said are so, that we would, 1 John, test the spirits to see whether they be of God, since many false teachers and false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, today on Abounding Grace, I've entitled my little message here of Mohawks and Ministers. What is a pastor anymore? A while back, I was attending a gathering of pastors from a variety of different churches in a local community. As I surveyed the crowd of pastors, I was deeply disturbed by the sad way the office of pastor was represented. I saw everything under the sun: ripped jeans, flip-flops, untucked shirts, tattoos, and even a pastor with a mohawk. My colleague reached over and whispered to me, "What does it even mean to be a pastor anymore?" It was very disturbing. I know immediately when you talk about dress, everyone says don't judge outwardly, and I respond with how Jesus told us to judge with righteous judgment. The fact is, the office of pastor should be held in high esteem by those who are privileged to serve in this capacity, but the reality is today it is being thrown to the dogs. The whole experience inspired me today to do a brief program on the warning signs of a pastor who may not be truly called by God to the office. So I'm going to outline here five things to have you think through. I recognize there are always exceptions to the rule, but generally we have to follow the rule, don't we? We have to follow what God has said. Every time you do something like this, everyone points to the exception. No, let's point to the command. And here we see very clearly what the Lord has put forth for us in what a pastor should be, how he should behave, what we should expect from him. The first thing as I think through this issue today of what is important for a pastor to demonstrate that he is genuinely called by God is that he has been trained for the ministry. Today we have a whole bunch of people who have no formal theological training. And so what that's produced is a whole generation of churchgoers not asking or caring whether their pastors have been trained. So think about it. Anyone who feels called to do ministry does it. They just feel it. The Lord's led me here. They just do it. Now, that may have a sound of wisdom. Who are we to challenge somebody who feels called to this? We wouldn't, of course, just do this in any other occupation. I would be negligent at best if I sent my sick loved one to a self-proclaimed medical doctor who just felt the calling, effectively bypassing medical school and the MCAT. I mean, wouldn't that bother you? You took this person, they had all this help, and then you found out, because they've made all sorts of mistakes, that they were never really tested. They never went to medical school. They never took the MCAT, but they just felt called to it. This hasn't stopped us today in Christ Church. As long as the pastor feels led, has a big heart, can motivate the people, he's given the title of pastor. Here are a series of questions you should ask your pastor. From which reputable seminary did you receive your Master's of Divinity degree? Which faithful church body confirmed your internal calling? Remember, a pastor has a calling internally from God, which is confirmed externally by the church, those whom God has given as overseers to shepherd the flock of God. Number three, when you were ordained to the office, when were you ordained to the office and hands laid upon you? Number four, did you learn the Word of God in the original languages? If the pastor took some classes from a Bible college or a religious university and skirted purposely the hard work of obtaining a divinity degree, why would you expect him to labor faithfully every week in the Word to rightly divide the Word of truth to the glory of God and the profit of your soul? Number two, no creed. What your pastors believe today is crucial to the well-being of your soul. 1 Timothy 4:16 commands a pastor to take heed to himself and to the doctrine. For in doing this, he will save both yourself and those who hear him. So, what is your pastor's doctrine? Since no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, to which historical and collective expression of what Scripture teaches has he promised to honor? In other words, if he just says, well, I just believe the Bible. Protestants produced creeds and confessions to guard against the errors of people who sort of read the Bible alone, privately, in private interpretation. The Holy Spirit has worked powerfully in Christians who have gone before us. If a pastor has no desire to formally commit himself to some expression of the historic Christian faith, he's making a strong statement that the truth is irrelevant to what he's doing. In that case, run. You should know what your pastor believes. What has he committed himself to? Is he committed to the historic Christian faith? Very important. Number three, no preaching. Is your pastor committed to preach the Word as it is in truth, the Word of God? How central is the Word to what he is doing? Does he confront sin? Very important question. Is there a proper balance of preaching and confronting sin and lifting people up with the gospel in his preaching? Or are you getting sermon series like Living on Empty, Going Off-Roading with God, Church is a Verb, Life is a Marathon? You know, these kind of sermon series stuff. If the Word is being used like a giant fortune cookie from which your pastor pulls out a few verses to support his topic, that is exactly the kind of ear tickling the Apostle Paul warned against in 2 Timothy 4. The assumption is being made today that the most Spirit-filled churches are led by pastors who can best determine for the people what they need. In this way, the pastor thinks he's being relevant to a postmodern culture, when in reality, he's only pandering to the wants of assumed seekers. If your pastor is refusing to preach through the Word of God, that's very important. This is the test. Is he preaching the Word of God in season, out of season, not manipulating it to use his own agenda? If he's faithfully preaching the Word of God, he is a faithful shepherd. If not, he's a false shepherd. God gave us books, dear listener, and stories for a reason. Biblical stories. They should be preached. Number four, no holiness. Pastors are called to set an example of godliness in all aspects of their lives. How does your pastor look and act? Does his life demonstrate that he's concerned about your soul? Does he strive to push you heavenward as a pilgrim here on earth? Or is he virtually indistinguishable from the world? I have to confess, I am wearied of seeing 40 to 50-year-old pastors dress and act like teenagers. This strange, what I call incarnational hipsterism, has overrun the church with worldliness. Age denial is one thing, but it's quite another to live out that denial in an artificial and insincere manner as a pretext of doing ministry in a relevant way. Did you get that? Age denial is one thing, but it's quite another to live out that denial in an artificial manner as a pretext of doing ministry in an oh-so-relevant way. Our love as pastors should be without hypocrisy, that is, without masks. Number five, no ecclesiology. How important are the three marks of a faithful church to your pastor? You know, throughout our Protestant history, there were three ways you could determine whether a church was a true or false church. Number one, the pure preaching of the Word of God, the gospel. Number two, the right administration of the sacraments. And number three, church discipline. The greatest evidence of whether your pastor is called by God will be witnessed in his convictions about the doctrine of the church. Does he care enough to discipline wayward members? Is he more concerned about what the church looks like than its holiness? And it's what we call Catholicity. What that means is the fact that we have the church universal, that the church is spread throughout the whole world, and that it's evidenced in one faith, one Lord, one holiness, one baptism. Is he more concerned about being relational rather than theological? Subjective rather than objective? Does he avoid all polemics? That means defense of the truth, going after error. Does he avoid all that? Does the fruit of his work show that he has been successful in just creating a niche event for a particular age group? What do the demographics of the ministry really demonstrate? In other words, is he just creating a niche event? Is worship just an event every week? And is it pandering to a certain age group? Look around at the demographics of the ministry. What does it demonstrate? Finally, does he care more about making the worship service a program, a show, getting people fixed on the show, rather than feeding the sheep with the Word of God and nurturing them in their struggles against sin? This is my great burden as a pastor. I'm no way perfect. We, as pastors who labor to preach the Word, are sinners. And we have to call to the Lord for mercy and help and strength. But it doesn't undermine. This doesn't provide an excuse for us compromising the calling because we are sinners. God has given us a design. The clear mandate from Christ for the minister is to preach the Word in season, out of season. And everything you do, preach that Word. Why? Because the time is coming, says the apostle, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't even want doctrine. Isn't it interesting? Doctrine's a bad word today. Doctrine divides. Yes, it does divide, dear listener. It divides truth from error, false teachers from true teachers. It divides hypocrites from true Christian. Oh, doctrine does divide. And we have to preach the Word. Christ said, I came to bring not peace, but sword and division. The peace he brings is between God and man. But as the gospel goes out to the ends of the earth, it divides those who are in the truth from those who are in the darkness. That's what we're called to do. Being assured that your pastor is called by God is crucial to the well-being of your soul. Hopefully, some of these questions today will help you to determine whether you are sitting under a faithful under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we ask for both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. The website's agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.